get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
You don't have to be like me. You don't have to be a SEAL. You don't have to be there. It's just like, just be the best at what you say you are.
Team Never Quit. Team Never Quit. Team Never Quit Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the TNQ Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit Podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit Podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening and watching, and please don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your show. So today, before we get to our special guest, let's kick it off with our weekly Patreon question. And this week we've got a good one. So if you were given $1 million to start up any charity, what would it go towards?
We've started charities before, so I'm going to go with something new. I think what Marcus does every Friday is probably one of the most rewarding thing, and he passes out food with our church, that like people from our community that are in need, just don't have the finances for groceries and stuff. Our church gives out these big food boxes, and there's like 300 families that come through that line, and they're all vetted. The church actually vets the families to make sure that they need it. It's not people taking advantage of the system. So these are people that are really in need. I mean, there's people out there that cannot afford food, and that is just crazy. So I think mine would go towards feeding people that, especially kids. There's the statistics on how many kids go without lunch at school is crazy. So Mine would be feeding the needy.
What about you, brother?
Yeah, no, there's so many good charities. $1 million isn't a lot today, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But with that million, I think I would definitely contribute to the hunting and fishing for veterans mm-hmm. that are suffering with TBI or PTSD, mm-hmm. you know, just to get them out there. We talked a little bit about life after our service and going and doing things. And not only that, but they can eat what they catch and what they hunt. And I know there's a lot of programs up in Washington State and you know, big hunting states that donate that meat to shelters. So just thinking about how that million could go the furthest, I think that's what I would put it towards.
There's actually some really good organizations that are for hunting and fishing. If you want some for veterans specifically, I'll give you the names afterwards because we've been in touch with some great ones.
Excellent.
That will take veterans out. But I love that. I grew up as a hunter. As a little girl, my dad treated me like a boy. So I was hunting from the time I was itty bitty. And I love that. I think it's really important that people harvest their own food.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say I'd take all that money. I'd go straight to a university. I'd find the best university with the coolest campus in the country somewhere with rolling hills. Where they could have, where every team guy that got out, because I think what happens when team guys get out of the military, they have a break and it messes with them.
Yeah.
But when they get out, I think they should just go follow on all, and like they're in the teams. So this like an education. So as soon as the guy who gets out of SEAL teams doesn't have a college degree, his ass has to go straight to that school. And then there's a frat house waiting on him with a bunch of other team guys. They integrate back into society. Like they reverse what they had to go through. And it's a step process. And then that place would be renowned for if you make it into the teams, your ass has a degree from that university and just kind of become a staple there hidden deep inside the university.
Right. Didn't you learn that Ole Miss
Ole Miss has something like that.
Ole Miss has something like that.
So if somebody gives me a mill, I'm probably going to Ole Miss. But I thought it was the coolest concept because they do it for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you've never been there to that university, Ole Miss, and seen the Grove and what they do to it's in Oxford, Mississippi. So you're talking about the country Harvard, right? Or country Yale, whatever. That Harvard, I guess, because of the colors. Yeah. But it's something. I mean, it truly is something there. And a couple of the guys sit up at the ROTC and the Veterans Administration there have started this program. So if you're in the military, if you're in one of the special programs and you're ready to get out, don't just get out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Find your way down by a phone call, text message, or email or something and tell them you want to just... There's nothing better than being a college student, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe being a SEAL tops that just a little bit, but being a college student, like your butt's in school. Your job is to wake up late and go to school and then drink a lot of beer and watch football and stuff like that, right? There's no pressure there. And I just think some of our guys to unload some of the pressure from combat and SEAL teams in general.
Sure.
Not even combat.
Sure.
Being in the SEAL teams is more stressful than combat.
Yeah.
We're wound so tight, right? And I think that would be a good one, Don.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because people don't believe me when I tell them this. This is the first time that any live bullets were coming my way or whatnot. It's like it was uneventful compared to our training. We're just looking at our buddy. Are they shooting at us?
Yeah. SEALs will mess each other up. Like we shoot at each other and blow stuff. Like when no one's looking, it's like, I mean, you think waterboarding is something, man. We use alcohol on each other to do that. You would talk about a group of guys that will take, and that's why we have to have chiefs.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody watching the boys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we're choir professionals. Yeah, we are, but you can't, I mean, that term's relative.
Watch out when we get bored.
Oh, man. It's the worst. Like the chief, you know, that's why they wear the expensive watches. He's like, hey, man, it's been more than 20 minutes. I hadn't seen the boys. Something's up. And that's a factual statement. That's not
it's true.
That's fact.
You know, when I right out of 18 Delta, I went to Gray Green Team.
And, that's right.
Yeah. And, I didn't screen for the boats. I screened for the assault team, but
there was something Jay Sawyer, weird cause I was never from there.
Yeah. Jay Sawyer is like, you screen for the command and we send you where we need you.
Need you. Right. And then so, gray, green, everyone kind of try to avoid that.
Well, yeah, it's the boats. They kill you. Right. Yeah. They destroy you. One guy, when he left the command, he was a full inch shorter.
Yeah. It's cause it destroys you.
It does. It destroys you.
How about that?
I know. Right. So we're going through training, and and I'm just out of AT Delta. I finally am confident now that if someone hurts themselves, I got them. I wanted people to hurt themselves. That's mm-hmm. how good the course was. 18 Delta is no joke. I mean, it was like, bring it. Yeah. I got it. Well, one of the boats decides it's going to try its hand at traversing land. I look back and it's on its side. It's turned over like, oh man. And these are hard boats, right? So not the inflatable sponsons. They're hard boats. So I'm like, there's going to be all kinds of crush injury.
I mean, we're talking about a full on friggin'
40-foot open ocean racer. And it's like, there's going to be some carnage. And we get over there and luckily it was in Cherry Point area. Mm-hmm. So the ground was soft. So any pressure the boat put on somebody, they just sunk into the ground. So it didn't really mess that people. So there were some cuts. There were some broken bones. There was, you know, stuff like that. But mass casualties.
That's a great story.
Yeah. And I just start barking orders. Boom, 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 boom. And blue t-shirt, black shorts. We go into we get them to the hospital, the closest one there on Cherry Point. And I walk in. And I think I'm like 25 years old. And I'm like, hey, let's get this guy up to x-ray. Let's get this guy over here. Let's start doing the primaries on this. Let's start barking orders. And the nurse is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Who the hell are you? And before I could say anything, this doctor comes out from the back. Are you an 18 Delta? I said, yes, sir, I am. Nurse, give this man anything he wants.
Oh, my gosh.
And I looked at him. Who do you want to take care of? Do you want to sew this guy up first? Or do you want to take care of this one over here?
Wow.
And we got to work.
That's awesome.
That's the best training ever.
It was. Absolutely
that
was.
That was the most difficult in the beginning, trying to learn that language and slip your mind into that.
The Army doesn't love us.
No. Hey, they throw a beat down too. Freaking SF boys, instructors. God. Man, this one dude, he had a red pin. He's like, it looks like somebody shot your damn test, Latrell, because there's red blood all over it. And I'm like, I mean, they're ruthless.
They were.
They show up at midnight. Yeah. What are you doing? Why aren't you studying? Like, yeah, you know, I was just going to try and get some sleep, man. No, we don't sleep here.
Yeah.
But it was
good.
That was the best, man. The absolute best. And I felt that way too, because it's combat training, learning medicine.
Yeah.
So there's so much stress. And I was more nervous going through 18 Delta than through SEAL training. I was that scared because SEAL instructors are kind of, I had a mouth. I had an attitude too, man. I had a big one. I can say that now. Okay. I know I freaking did. And I apologize to all my chiefs that had to keep me in line. Thank you. But man, when you come out of there, it's so, the stress that they put on you is nothing. When we run into all that other stuff, it's just kind of, like you said, anticlimactic.
Right.
And you just start barking out that stuff they teach us. They're like, how do you know how to do that? I'm like, this is what they tell us to do this. And then when it goes down, we do it.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It is.
That's exactly how all those phrases that we say out loud. I mean, these, I don't want to call them poems, man, but these little riddles we got in our head that we say when something goes down and reminds us of what's transpiring helps.
Yeah, you work through the process, right? They teach you that process, and then when I went to Jump Master School, you know, to me, it was easy because 18 Delta just drove that process, right? You start here, and you don't miss anything, and you just go right down. So same thing when you're doing a Jump Master, it's just boop 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 boop. It's like, how come you're so good at this? It's like, well, I went to 18 Delta, man. They drove that.
You can follow procedure.
Yeah,
that's a discipline thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're fast forward. We need to go back in time. Take us back to where you're from and...
Yes, sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. But before that, the reason you guys asked me on is I published a book. It's called Tip of the Spear. It's Not What You Think. You can find it on Amazon. And matter of fact, if you want some signed copies, ballastbooks.com has some signed copies as long as they're there. There's just a few of them if you want to order them. But... I grew up in Washington State. I was a migrant worker, working in the fields. So the type of hunting we did was hunting for cherries and apples and asparagus and whatnot, cucumbers. And then in the winter, the family would go to Texas. My older brothers would work in the cotton with my dad. I was too young to work in the cotton, but we would spend the winter here in Texas, and then we'd go back to Washington State once the spring hit to start working in the fields again.
How does that work? Because I've actually seen our church like promote something where you can sponsor migrant workers like to be at your house or whatever. Were y'all sponsored by somebody or were you sponsored by a farm?
No, more the farm. So the reason we were doing that is my dad was actually charged with finding crews.
So
And since he had seven kids, he's like, well, I got my own little crew too here mm-hmm. as well. And I got to be here, so might as well bring them with me. Mm-hmm. So we did that. My parents split up when I was 11, 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And then my dad came back to Texas, and we stayed in Washington State. And that's where my mother's side of the family pretty much was, because they were migrant workers as well growing up. And then, you know, my mother, she had an eighth grade education. So it's like, well,
where is she from?
She's from Mexico. She was from just outside of Monterrey, but came across when she was 8 years old. Mm. And which is a whole other story, you know, because everyone's like, well, they came across because this is a, well, I'll tell you real quick. Mm-hmm. In 2000, we found out that that my mother was one of 17 heirs to 160,000 acres of land and gold and whatnot. Yeah,
of course.
Right. My great grandfather was very wealthy and came from Spain, settled that area. My great grandmother died giving birth to her fourth child. 2 weeks later, my great grandfather dies. So the uncle says, "I'll raise them." Doesn't educate and doesn't tell them about their wealth, nothing. And as my grandfather, as I understand the story, and I'm sure that relatives are going to be yelling at me, "You got it wrong." But the gist is that. That my grandfather, his cousins were starting to threaten him for the 30 acres that he had to raise his family, basically ran him off. And I think they ran him off because they didn't want them to find out that they were the true heirs to all that wealth. And so he brings his family across illegal, and then we're migrant workers. And then my mother marries my dad, and we're migrant workers and whatnot. My gosh. Yeah.
Did she get it? Did she get the
loot? No. She ended up passing away in 2009. And I even told him to, I said, look, you know, that land has been sold and resold and whatnot so many times. And just the taxes you're going to owe on it. And, you know, so we don't, it did nothing for us. It did
cool
nothing
story.
For her either.
Yeah. That's a cool story though. Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
So she worked as a nurse. We did our hand in the fields. She got a job as a nurse's assistant in a nursing home. And we were on public assistance. We were on welfare. And we were working, us three little kids that were still in the house. She did the best she could to get us out of school. And and so that's the whole reason I joined the Navy, was to be a doctor, not to be a, I didn't even know what a SEAL was. But you know, I wanted to provide a better life for my mom because I saw how hard she was working, even though she hated my guts. There was no qualms about it. I mean, no one will argue in my family that there was no love lost.
Because like just you or your siblings too?
So there's six boys in our family and one girl. And my mother always wanted a daughter. Well, when she got that daughter, out comes Rodney as well. So she's my twin sister.
Oh, yeah.
She's my twin sister. And so she's like, what the hell? I can't escape these guys. So I think she got it from both sides of the family. She just wanted to really focus on her daughter. And she's got a screaming kid over here that their perception was she wasn't paying any attention to. So just that animosity. Probably over the years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are you close with your sister?
I think so. I mean, she's still in Washington State, but not as close as I'd like to be. But, you know, being in the teams out on the East Coast, and I missed a big part of all those momentous occasions, you know, having children, raising the kids and whatnot, just because I thought being in the teams and running hard was what I was supposed to do. And I realize now that family matters more. I'm not taking anything away from people
that do that. Yeah, don't do that to yourself, man. It's kind of like time and place.
That's it.
An easy way to earn your way back in the family, be a freaking team guy.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's kind of, hey, you know, that's even true. If you mess up,
yeah,
you go take an ass whooping like that.
Yeah,
respect.
And they didn't know what team guys were. As a matter of fact, my wife, her family didn't even know. I didn't know what a SEAL was.
So tell us how you even got down that path.
Yeah, so the recruiter sold me on a bill of goods to go to the academy.
Freaking good at that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, go to pre-med at the Naval Academy, and then after that you go to the Armed Forces Medical School and become a doctor, and the whole time you're earning money, you can send money home.
So you must have had great grades.
I did.
Okay.
I had good grades, and I was in sports. But when I got into boot camp... in San Diego, and company commander's asking, how come you're not doing the Montgomery GI Bill? The Montgomery GI Bill back then, you paid $100 for the first 12 months, and then you got a certain amount of money for school later. Well, $100 back then was half of my total pay as an E1, right? So I'm like, no, man, my mom needs the money, and I'm not giving you $100. And besides, I'm going to the Naval Academy. Like, you're not going to the Naval. What's wrong with you? I'm like, you don't know. My recruiter knows. You don't know.
Oh, no.
As I start learning more and more about the Navy, I realize, yeah, my company commander was right. I'm not going to the Naval Academy, at least not anytime soon. And start reading about UDT SEAL. We see that the movie Men with Green Faces. But I looked at the pay, and it was the pay that motivated me so that I could send more money home. And
what year is this?
This is 1986. Yeah.
And dude, you're an 80s frog.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
I started BUDS in class 143, December of 86.
140.
I graduated 143 in July 10th of 1987.
You know Warrant Officer Faisal?
I do.
God. Do you really?
I do.
My guy could beat people's ass, boy. He was awesome at it, man. I hadn't thought of him in forever, man, but because that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
In the 40s, man.
I love that you can associate someone's name that's what by we their do. BUDS class number.
That's especially with the Chiefs, because, you know, that's when it. Stuff comes, there's a hidden language that we speak. And there's these hidden things. And we were talking about this the other day I was talking to a buddy of mine, he's going through some stuff. And we were talking about kind of how we used to get a little wild and stuff. And what he said to me was teams and shit.
Yeah.
And if you say that word.
That's it.
To any team guy in any moment, it'll quell everything. That's it's it. Like this magical word that goes out. And then what we were just talking about, there's these moments where, man, you just, like, why do you know his BUDS class? Like, trust me, there was a moment when I was standing there and that came up and it freaking, he hit me with it. And just the way they do it. Because, you know, team guys are about their timing. It's all about timing and looking cool, man. And that guy, God, the stuff he would say. There's this one buddy we had, Otis. He's in my class. He's got a brother, too, a damn neck guy. There's two of them.
Okay.
And he was inked up. I mean, he was a boatswain's mate. Had the anchors and the everything on his knuckles.
Right.
And we were doing flutter kicks on the pool deck and worn off physical. I was like, Jesus, Oz, what happened to you, man? Did you fall asleep on the Sunday comics? He's like, most of your tattoos don't even make sense. Dude just started laying into him, right? And I never heard this before. You know, a grown man talking like that.
Yeah.
Then you start laughing because it was funny. I mean, like, this guy would literally could be on stage. And then you start laughing, and then he'd be like, what's so funny?
Team guys are funny. Team guys are
they just point some stuff out on you that you wouldn't even think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And give you a complex like that.
Yeah.
Like, I never even noticed I had that.
I had a buddy. We were, this was when I was with the agency, and we're getting ready to push into Iraq in 03. But of course, we're staying in hotels in Kuwait so we can get per diem. And so I'm rooming with him, and he's talking me about his diet he's on and his workout and all this. I mean, Army dude, right? Army Ranger. Just going on and on about all this stuff that he's doing and whatnot. And I'm in my rack, and I just look over and I was like, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I says, does your ass know that you're on a diet? He starts shedding a tear. Just those little things like that, right? He's like, I thought I was making progress.
It hits them the worst. It hits those guys the worst. Like, my God, you look fat in those pants, dude. I mean, like, you're one sandwich away from that, right? And then one of the Chiefs used to cut it, like, a little bit off their belt. Like, just a little bit, right? To where it just kind of, it just gets snug enough to where you're like, what the fuck? You know, just the stuff you wouldn't even think of, man, they'll find. And just... I miss that stuff most of all, man.
Okay, so you're in boot camp.
I'm in boot camp, and I find a program that's gonna pay me as an E1 what an E7 makes. It's 3 years of commitment. I'm stuck for 3 years, so I say I want to do it, and they're like, "Do you know what it is?" I have no clue. When I talk about it in the book, Tip of the Spear, it's not what you think. You can buy it on Amazon, and there's some signed copies at ballastbook.com. The swim test during boot camp. It's like, okay, you're going to do this screening test. And we start, and there's like 50, 70 mugs all, because it's two companies together. And we're all going to do this swim test to qualify for SEALs or diver. And it's, hey, you're going to do the side stroke. I'm like, what's the side stroke? Never even heard of the side stroke? What's the side stroke? And the guy's looking at me like, what the hell is your problem? He goes, you know how to do the breaststroke? I do know how to do the breaststroke. He's like, okay, do that.
Yeah, you can do one or the other, right?
One or the other.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yep. And I'll never forget. I'll never forget when they all took off and they're all gone. I'm getting kicked in the face, everything.
Oh, that's right. I remember they put us in a pile. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Send you out. That's right.
Send you out. And I'm like, I got to learn this side stroke. These guys are fast. Crazy. Crazy.
It is.
I won't share the rest of the story because it's in the book. But yeah, never swam in the ocean. Never shot guns. Never had a mask on my face.
Really?
Yeah, none of it. None of it.
At least you didn't have any bad habits.
No, I didn't. I didn't. And here's another thing, too, which I laugh at because I was born with my right eye crossed. So
I had one of those.
So it's an
awesome thing to have.
It is. It's great.
So, I mean, you want to talk about a humbling experience, bro. I'm with you. God hooked me up with that one, too.
My nickname for my brothers were cross-eyed frog, right? Then I ended up being a frog man, so I'm like, all right, bring
it. I get thrown down a mountain for mine to straighten up, dude. It was. I mean, you want to talk about miserable, because, you know, the eyes eat first, right? So
strabismus.
We used to joke because my brother had my eye and I had his, so we were always looking for each other, man. Right. You know, that's what we would say.
Oh, my gosh, babe, that's horrible.
When you're born with an anomaly like that, you got to come up with whatever you can.
You got to make fun of yourself because you know you people are going to try to tear you down. They're going to try you. If you beat them to the punch, they got nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And you own them. Right?
Dude, that's how it has to work. I mean, you they'll throw some stuff at you and they're like, hey, man, I've already heard that. And then you throw something better at them. Here, use this one next time.
Yeah, this one's better.
Yeah, I had to learn how to do all that.
But I could never, first in the pool. The doc, you know, the he wasn't a SEAL, but he was the corpsman supporting. Dive phase was third phase back then, and every time I'd come up from
that's
the pool,
you were in the switch.
He's like, Michelle, are you okay? Because my eye would be doing this. Right? He's thinking I'm narking out or something.
You have a stroke, right? He's having an embolism. His eyes, dude, that's funny as hell. Yeah, they call me Vector. That's where I got that name, Vector, and because in third phase. Like, Jesus, you got the place covered. I'm like, I do.
That's it. But then fast forward, and this is when the teams had their own STT, and I was fortunate because Team 4 was like, you know, we got all the guys from Damneck, right, from the early days. And I could not for the life of me understand why people couldn't keep both eyes open when they were shooting. I couldn't. Couldn't understand it. Could not understand. I'm getting mad at guys. God damn it, keep your eye open. What's so hard about keeping both eyes open? Well, they don't work together. So mine's just hanging out over here, picking the next target while I'm shooting this one.
Yeah, I could do that too.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I never had any eye strain.
None.
Ever.
None.
I mean, I don't have any depth perception, do you?
I don't know what it is.
I don't have that either.
And it's one of the stories I tell in the book, Tip of the Spear, It's Not What You Think. I almost didn't get hired by the Marshal Service. Because I failed that depth perception test.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
I failed it professionally.
This is after the teams, after being in grade team.
Yeah, right?
Right? Being a jump master.
You know how important depth jump perception master? Is in others aren't for the community? Yeah,
absolutely. But I can't be a deputy U.S. Marshal because I don't have any depth perception.
I learned that he didn't have depth perception when we got married. Our wedding, our videographer, which I didn't even know that they were doing this, filmed our entire wedding ceremony, reception, everything in 3D.
Oh, wow.
There's like, they could do it. I don't know how. I don't even know why they did that. They didn't ask. And they tell us after, they're like, you need to download this deal to convert it to 3D. And I'm like, I tell Marcus, and he said, well, I can't even see in 3D.
I can't see 3D.
You remember those pictures?
Dude, I remember those
pictures?
Saw those.
I hated those pictures. Everyone said, oh, wow, they're so cool. And I'm just like,
there's some elephants in there. I don't know. Space shuttles or something. I don't see that. Even with the glasses. We went to Disney World one time with the kids, and they were like, hey, throw these on. It's great. And I'm like, that.
You just see something blurry.
It's blurry. That's worse, right? Just miserable headaches. Come on.
We lost our footage because it was filmed, strictly formatted for that. And I told them, don't even bother putting it, like formatting
I'm sorry.
It. Because,
good times, man. Yeah, that's a funny thing that happens with.
It's all good.
Like every team guy has something.
Yeah.
When you show up to Bud's, you think, man, I'm the weakest one here. There's no way. Trust me, every guy that shows up in there is from the anomaly barrel.
Yeah.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
And that's one of the things that we talk about, well, that I started writing. And again, when I wrote this, I didn't plan on publishing it. I just started putting down my thoughts.
It makes you feel good. Yeah, it's good for you.
Yeah, it helped me get out of that dark place. It's all these people that I've run into that look at us and are like, oh my God, you guys are so cool. And I'm like, but you're a surgeon. That's pretty damn cool too.
It's real cool.
You know, you're an airline pilot or you know, it's just anything. It's like you own this company. You have thousands of people working for you and you're doing God's work. That's pretty damn cool too. But they don't see it. We don't see it. At least I don't see myself as cool. I just see it as this is something I did. And every time we do something else, I'm not going to quit. If I commit to it, I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities. And I think everyone's like that. And I'm shocked when I find out that they're not. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is every scenario that we get in, we make it fun and exciting and cool. And then so the next one that comes up, we got to do it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll go until guys die. And I'm like, oh, okay, we'll pull it back in the range.
But right? We'll bring them back because we're 18 Deltas.
We're 18 Deltas, right? There's always something.
Kill yourself.
And we were in D.C. the other day. Yeah. Like, I'm going to kill you. We're going to bring you right back.
Be right back.
Okay, I believe you. I believe you. Like, I trust you. And then just hit him right in the chest with it, man, dude. But... imagine, like, you would never be able to hang out with these type of guys ever anywhere. If you walked into their city, into their community, they wouldn't have anything to do with you. They're kind of standoffish, or you got to earn their trust. Well, the way you get around that is you throw all of them into one spot, and then you send them through hell, and when they come back out, they're going to revert back to their old selves, but there's a bond there now.
Yeah.
Like, we were on stage the other day, when you were looking down that line, you had all the city boys, the country boys, the real smart ones, right? The educated ones and the kids who from the country just sling lead and fist.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They freaking love each other. And they will make fun of each other because of who they are nonstop. And then they'll laugh about it like it's the funniest thing I've ever heard. But then if somebody else walks up and tries to say the same insult, it ain't going to fly.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're like, who are you?
Yeah, who the? why and every one of us turns around. That's
right.
Dude,
that's like, right. Even... Someone better vouch for this person quick.
Yeah, that happens for sure.
Oh my gosh. So when you graduated Buds, was your family there?
No.
You didn't have anybody there for you?
No.
Dude, so you're a mystery frog then.
Aww.
Yeah.
That makes me sad for you.
Well, don't be sad. Because here's the thing. It is I just learned to just, that was the norm, right? So any schools where there was any kind of graduation, when I graduated the marshal service, when I graduated the academy, I didn't even have my wife come out because it's like, well, graduation, get my diploma, get my creds, get on the plane, get home to them, type deal. So no real time for celebration. I mean, it's. I always saw it as this is my job,
yeah.
Right? This is my job. I'm getting ready to go to work and I write a little bit about the graduation because you know how they let us send invitations to whoever we wanted. Tip of the spear, it's not what you think. And people in my, because I went to Corman A School, everything in San Diego. So boot camp San Diego, core school San Diego, and then straight to Butts. So my first year in the Navy was San Diego. Well, there's people in my A School, the Corman A School, you're not going to make it. I'm like, well, have you tried it? Have you ever done it? No. Yeah. And I'm 18 years old. Okay. I turned 19 in Buds. I don't know And these older guys are telling me, oh, yeah, yeah, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. I'm like, well, okay. Why? Yeah, because you don't have what it takes. Well, how do you know what it takes? Yeah, I just know. You just ain't going to make it. Okay. I take their name and you know, graduation, got your address.
Oh my
I
gosh,
sent them
I love
all
that.
Invitations, every single one of them. And not one of them showed up, but I sent them an invitation.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. They just motivated me. You know, that's the thing. And like I said, I talk about it in the book. And that's why I say it's not what you think, because it's not a story of all my escapades. It is really just getting people to look at life and look at their life differently. It's hey, you matter and you can do it. And you choose if you're going to let them beat you down or motivate you.
Yeah.
And no one can hurt me more than my mom. Right. So when she would say nasty things to me, anyone else saying nasty things to me was nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just motivated me to prove them wrong. That's it.
Well, the program starts before you sign the line, and it shows up in the form of people saying you can't do it.
That's it.
So if you're wondering if you're in line to be in the program, you'll start hearing that. Because people will ask you about it. You'll start having conversations about it, even when you're not in. So it starts way before that.
It does.
The best is when you run into them after.
I love it.
If you're uniformed up, taking your bird for a walk, and they just happen to bebop and you recognize them, that happened to me one time. And I didn't say anything. He kind of looked at me, and he got that look. He looked at my chest, and I was like, yes, sir. Carry on smartly. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Yeah.
How about seeing guys in the chow hall after Hell Week?
Dude, if they could just have a camera in there for us of old-timers to watch that, just to remind you, right, how...
They are so upset with themselves because they realize it was just a moment of weakness. Mm. Just that moment of weakness, and they quit. And now they're sitting in the chow hall. It's like, why did I quit? And they're sad, and they're all boo-boo-lipped and crying in their cocoa.
My gosh.
It's like, well, why'd you quit? Why are you?
So after you quit, you can go eat?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They got a warm bed, shower, and hot cocoa.
Yeah.
And cookies.
They entice you to quit.
You could smell it, man. And then every now and again, they'd have a grill cooking barbecue when
what?
They were just be
for
beating
the
shit out.
Well,
yeah, right in the middle
to get
of this,
you to
man.
Quit.
They don't care, dude. Especially during Hell Week.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Try to get you to quit.
Man, anything to take your mind. Because what happens when you get into misery is you and your mind finally clicks in there. It's okay.
Yeah.
But then just like a song or a smell of some barbecue or something, burger, and you're like, civilization? You know what I'm talking about? Humanity?
That's it.
And it for yeah. 1 second, and then, so it's kind of dude, isn't that place something?
It
that
is.
They can do that to us?
And notoriously, Corman had a hard time making it through, not because they can't make it through, because our options are, we could go to a hospital.
Yes,
we go live. We could go live a normal life.
Warm hospital,
that's it.
Nurses, doctors, and everything's clean.
That's it.
Yeah, I remember them saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a real thing.
So yeah,
oh my
so I graduated.
Anything to throw your mind off. To
anything.
Say that, and that's look, it. They need guys to do this. So you're like, hey, you need somebody? I'm here. Da da da.
Yeah.
And then they're like, f you, dude. We hate just it every single day.
Yeah.
So y'all just ran off of hangry mode.
Fear. And everything shows up in there. Because like I would be afraid of something he wouldn't be.
Like when you're so hungry or angry, the hangry man,
They're pretty
man.
Good about feeding us.
I don't think they are good about feeding you. They are good about feeding you.
There's always some fuel in the tank for sure.
Yeah, but I don't think that it was any fear as much as it. If there was fear, it was the fear of letting people down, of proving people right.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds crazy, but I didn't want to see that smug face of someone saying, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I was not going to face that. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't quit.
Because the look on their face when you accomplish it, it's a lot better.
It is.
It's a sweeter thing.
And you don't have to say shit.
Yeah. You just,
sorry.
You ain't gonna say nothing.
You don't have to say nothing.
Yeah.
You just be there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So when you graduated, you went straight to Team 4?
Straight to Team 4. Yeah. Well, I mean, the 2 weeks of running the chamber and then jump school, but Team 4. And I actually lied, and I know, and I tell people not to lie, always be honest, but I stretched the truth a little bit and said I spoke Spanish.
Oh, you son of... Is that how you got
That's
there?
How I got to Team 4.
Oh, because you can pull that off, man. Like, I couldn't. I tried to get over there, man.
Wait.
4 was a place to be.
You're the son of migrant workers.
Yes.
And you don't speak Spanish.
Well, I grew up in Washington State, and you got to understand what my mother and her family went through in Washington, in those early years in Washington State. They were treated poorly, and because their first language was Spanish. And my uncle tells a story about, you know, he thought the restroom was called Be Excuse because everyone said, ma'am, can I be excused? And so he thought that what you called the bathroom. You know, can I go to Be Excuse?
Oh, my gosh.
And so they didn't want their kids to get harassed and be treated like they were treated as kids growing up in Washington State. So they did not push Spanish. They didn't want us to learn Spanish.
It was if you don't speak another language, you're from here.
Exactly.
Did she speak Spanish at home at all, your mom?
Only when she was, you know, yelling at my dad and my mom, when they didn't want other people to understand the swear words they were using,
Language shift. Italians do it famously.
Yeah.
They'll be straight English. As soon as they get fired up,
exactly.
They just come straight up.
And my grandmother only spoke Spanish too. So like I said, I understood it and I knew a few words. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I speak Spanish. I need to go to SEAL Team 4. And so I got to SEAL Team 4.
Did they even ask after you got there?
Hell no. As a matter of fact,
think so.
They wouldn't even send me to school. I'm like, hey, can I go to some of these Spanish schools? And they're like, you already speak Spanish. I'm like, well, not that good.
Technically, but I could brush up on it all the time.
I need some help. I need some help. And that's awesome. And it was, I finally, they're sending guys from Alabama, Mississippi.
Okay, that's not a lie, technically, okay? Because if you speak Spanish word, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
This is true.
Right?
Hey, this
man,
is
I
true.
I wanted to go there. That's how I got there.
This is true.
All right, check.
So they're sending guys that, you know, they're coming out of Spanish way. Dice que hola, como estar, right? It was huge draw, southern draws, and their Spanish is horrible. And they can't interpret at all, but they're putting me in front of people to interpret. And I'm like, bueno, you queremos hacer esto. And they're like, okay. And you know, everyone we're working with, Venezuela was one of our premier partners. I mean, they were very, very accomplished, very, very good. And we used to work with them all the time before they became our enemy. You do get some control when you speak Spanish and your OICs don't know a lick of it.
Oh, yeah.
The platoon got it again. They're like, hey, screw this. We don't want to do another hydro recon. We don't want to do it. We want to go jumping. We want to go skydiving. I'm like, so do what you can to make sure we go skydiving. I'm like, okay, all right. So we're sitting in the meeting and it's like, okay, yeah. So they're telling me in Spanish, we're ready to do hydro recons. We're ready to do diving and all this other stuff and whatnot. And I'm like, you sure you guys don't want to go skydiving? And they're like, well, what do you guys want to do? And then I translated in English. Yeah, they say they can do this hydro, but they'd rather go skydiving. Really? They want to jump instead? I think, if that's what they said. Let me ask them again. Do you guys want to go jump? Well, if that's what you guys want to do. Yeah, they said they want to go jump.
Oh, my gosh. You,
we're out there skydiving instead.
That is hilarious. Instead of doing
a hydro. Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for that one, but.
Oh my gosh.
Y'all can pull that off, man. I look like a white dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're in Iraq and Afghanistan, it doesn't matter if I speak the language or not. Yeah. It comes out with a Texas accent and I freaking look white.
It's true. I was a chameleon.
Some of y'all can pass for anything.
I was a chameleon.
Bro.
I was a chameleon. And
we had a bunch of those in my first platoon, chameleons, man. They could blend in anywhere. They could be an LA gangster or a jihadist from freaking, I mean, anything.
So I'm going to share a story with you. So my time in Iraq and Afghanistan was with the CIA. It was not with the teams.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in Afghanistan, and we're going over to the palace. Well, Karzai, he had, I think it was a cousin or something. We called him Quasimodo because he had a hunchback. Mm. And Blue Team is like doing the protection for him. And I show up with my chief of station to do a meeting. And so I was a GRS agent, so I'm there to protect agency personnel. I'm there to make sure nothing happens to him. And Quasimodo sees me, right? And he does this, disappears. He comes back. He's got a chair for me. He's telling someone else. He got tea. He got all the Blue Team is around me, and they're looking because he thinks I'm Afghan.
Oh my gosh!
And I'm like, oh man, this guy's getting sweet on me.
No!
They gave me so much crap over that.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I blended in. I blended in nicely.
It makes a difference over there.
It does.
It's only not a thing here.
No.
That's your crawls crazy. Get you a lot of, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Through Team 4, how long were you there?
I was there for 4 years. I would have left earlier, but when the Gulf War happened, Damneck sent out a letter saying, hey, we're not really participating in this war, so you could keep all essential personnel, because I was supposed to go to Green Team, the assault side. Well, Winters was the XO, and he pulls me in. He goes, you're a Spanish-speaking corpsman? You're not going anywhere. I'm like, we're not fighting in this war either. We're Team 4. We're South and Central America and the Caribbean, and we're not fighting in it either. He goes, I don't care. So I jump in another platoon and do another deployment. And then when I come back from that deployment, it's like, okay, do I go to the Green Team or 18 Delta? And so I'm talking to everyone. They're like, hey, you got to go to 18. You got to be an independent duty corpsman to promote. So go to 18 Delta. Damneck's always going to be here. And so I'm like, all right. So I went to 18 Delta.
Yeah.
And then I found out that, and that's where I met my wife, was when I was in San Antonio. I had an aunt. She's still in Corpus Christi, and went to go visit her, and they were friends with my wife's parents, and they remember me from being 13 years old, and they're like, you know, well, we need to find a young girl to show him around, because he's probably not going to want to talk with us. And I'm, so I've already been to almost every country in South and Central America, deployed 3 times, and now I'm in 18 Delta,
In Texas.
In San Antonio. Dude. Yeah.
They had 18 Delta in San Antonio.
That's where it used to be.
The first phase, yeah.
That's why I signed up.
Yeah, the first phase.
I was like, I'm going to have them be a SEAL. I'll be back in Texas and San Antonio. It's going to be great. I'll be learning medicine. I can see my friends. No.
Brag for you.
I lost my ass to Vietnam, dude. Fayetteville, North Carolina is when they moved. I think I might have been the second class to ever go through in the NOM.
Was Asherman one of your instructors? Rick Asherman?
Absolutely. No, he wasn't. Okay. I used his chest SEAL.
Oh, okay.
Like his stuff was going through the program.
He lives in Bernie.
In Bernie, Texas?
Yeah.
Rick Asherman does.
Rick Asherman, yeah. I saw him last week. Yep.
Really?
Yep. Oh, my
gosh. Oh,
yeah. I've used his equipment to save lives before.
We were sitting at the Denny's studying together at 18 Delta, because they made us buy, this was, you got to remember, AIDS was huge back in the 80s and 90s, right? Mm-hmm. You know, AIDS is going to kill you.
Yeah.
Don't get AIDS. So you couldn't do mouth to mouth unless you had this pocket mask, right? Which was just a thin plastic with the little bill that goes down the throat of the person that you're going to do mouth to mouth with to protect you from AIDS. That's what he's looking at. He's like, this would be a great chest seal. And I was like, yeah, man, it absolutely will. And he ran with it and invented the Asherman chest seal.
Sure did.
I remember being in like junior high, and I don't remember if it was health class or what, but they had us all stand up, and then they would count like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, sit down. 1, 2, 3. They would tell everybody, they were counting through, and they're like, 1 in every 6 people, by the time you're 30 years old, you'll have AIDS. And we were like, what? We were a small Christian school. And we're like, what are you talking about? But at the time, they thought it was going to be this huge thing that everybody was going to get. Yeah. I remember being terrified about that. I'm like, I don't want to get it. How do you get it? Yeah. And they weren't even telling people back then.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. So yeah, so that's how we did it. So that's how I met my wife, is my aunt and uncle introduced us. And when I met her, you know, I'm 24 at this time. She's 17. I'm like, don't get any ideas. I'm not going to prison. And she's like, well, you're a jerk. I was like, well, I'm a man. How silly, right? We ended up being best of friends. And then next thing you know, it's like, you know what? I think I want to marry her one day. Aww. But I'm not going to let her be like my mother, where she doesn't have an education in case something happens to me because of our job, right? No plans on ever leaving her, but you know, things happen to team guys. So
all the time.
Yeah. So I wanted her to make sure she had her education first, and which was perfect, because while she's going to college, I was over at SEAL Team 6. And I mean, I wouldn't even, when I was home, I wouldn't even leave the command. I'd sleep in my cage. That's just how busy you are, right? Mm-hmm. And then when she finished college, it's like, okay, well, it's time for me to go to school, because the whole reason I came in the Navy was to get a degree. And plus, I don't want her to start her life with me being at SEAL Team 6, because it's just, I'm a ghost, right? You're a ghost.
Some of the guys do it. I don't know how. I never had to do that. I never married while I was in. Some of the guys can pull that off.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the women. You know, they're powerhouses when it comes to that. Because you're married to the life.
That's true.
I committed to the life. I said it out loud. Like, I'm married. I'll never forget the night I did it.
Yeah.
Sleeping in the cages, stuff like that. That was, that's a life inside there. There's different kinds of team guys, levels. I would say different kinds. But
there is.
Different levels. There is, right? Yeah.
There is.
So, it's tough, man. It is. My hat's off to the guys who got to, I was the same as you. I had to be out.
Yeah. No, it's true. And that's why when our daughter was born is when I went, first I couldn't promote to chief. And so, you know, in the Navy, as an E6, 20 years, you're out. And I don't know if you remember this, but Clinton changed the retirement. After 20 years, you got 40% of your base pay. So now 40% of half of my total pay was going to be my retirement as an E6. So got out, but stayed in the reserves and went to the Marshal Service. And and then loved it, loved being a U.S. Marshal. But when 9/11 happened, is got a cold call, and I asked him one question. And the significance is we're living in Corpus Christi, Texas. I am a deputy U.S. Marshal in Corpus Christi, Texas, where my wife was born and raised, where her dad was born and raised. She's surrounded by family. We have the first grandchild for her parents. And
Corpus. Big fan of that city.
Yeah.
mean, like, their number one fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great town. And I got the call, and they said, hey, your name got passed. Would you be interested in coming and hearing what we have to say? I asked them one question. I said, do I get to go to Afghanistan? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, send me the tickets. And then I came home, and I said, sweetie, I have no idea who I'm talking to, but it's time to go to war. SEAL Team 4 is not activating me. I was still enlisted then. I was still first class. I called the Marines. The Marines aren't activating me. I know we're going to war. I don't know what the problem is. And then I, you know, come to find out about authorities and permissions and acts of Congress and whatnot to get the funding in place so you could start moving people and reservists. But by then I was already in the agency. And it's funny because I'd put in for my commission through Intel and supply because I'm like, I am not.
Really?
Yep. I am not going to retire as an E6. I'm putting on khakis one way or another. So I applied for the direct commission through Intel. And then my second was supply. And I'm getting ready to go up to D.C. And by then I knew it was the CIA. And I stopped in San Antonio. He said, hey, your commission came through. And you want to stop by and take the oath? I'm like, yeah. Well, you know, come to find out, NSW is offering you a commission as well. I'm like, well, I didn't apply for them. It's like, yeah, but they're offering you one if you want it. I'm like, well, of course. Absolutely. I'll stay with my community that I know. So stopped in San Antonio.
Most guys won't. I remember that.
Yeah. Yep.
That was a deal breaker back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go with the SEAL teams.
I did.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
I stopped in San Antonio, took the oath of office to become an ensign as a SEAL officer, still in the reserves, and then kept on driving up to D.C. Was there for a week onboarding, and then Saturday qualled on all the weapons, and then Sunday on a plane to Afghanistan.
Yeah, so cool.
That fast. And they were still in Corpus Christi waiting for me to come back.
Yeah. Where'd you land when you landed in Afghanistan?
Bagram? Kabul.
Oh, Kabul, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long were you with the Marshals?
So I think 2 years, if that. Yeah.
Oh, that's a fun time. That's it. That's one of those good deals.
The Marshalls were.
And you're talking about 2001. That's when everybody got those golden cruise boxes, bro. It was like, hey, man.
Oh, with the U.S. Marshals, or are you talking about the agency?
Everybody.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
After 9/11 went down, everybody kind of got funding.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. The Marshals was. I love the Marshals. I can't tell you how many times we roll up on someone, we'd finally catch someone, and they're it just surprised the crap out of me. He's like, "What took you so long, Marshal?" They're tired of running. They get tired of running.
I've heard that.
They're just like, okay.
It's exhausting, but right?
It is. Yeah. It is exhausting, always looking over your shoulder, whatnot.
So who are you hunting for?
Oh, fugitives.
You can't. Everybody.
Shoot, I had a bench warrant. I had to pull a girl out of college because she got a speeding ticket on one of the national parks. And so that goes to the federal court.
What?
And she didn't show up for a speeding ticket. And so the judge.
That's the kind of shit that would
happen to me. The judge is like.
I'm not kidding. Like, yeah. That is the kind of shit that would happen to me. Like,
yeah.
The trouble I got in my 20s was like speeding ticket, never paid. Like, it was always something so stupid.
Tickets.
I had a lot of tickets.
A lot of tickets. Yeah. Heavy just crazy foot. Stuff.
Radiator cap.
It's crazy stuff.
And she had a Camaro.
Yeah,
the authority that the U.S. Marshals have is vast. I mean, they have all the authorities of a sheriff in any county, and their mission statement is the preservation of the federal judicial system.
Did you feel bad having to pull that girl out of college?
Absolutely. And she was crying, and I'm telling her, "Hey, Liz, this is a formality. You know, the judge is just flexing their muscles. You should have showed up. I know you forgot. Just go up there and say sorry, all this other stuff." And
when you're at that age, and somebody, a uniformed officer, shows up, and pull you out, it's terrifying.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
And they're trained to say it's going to be okay. I never felt like that.
I know, right?
I'm scared to death.
Right.
When they show up, like, oh.
Then why do you have a gun? Why do you have a gun?
I had an incident like that. Hunter was like maybe 5 or 6 years old, and I had taken all of my little sister that's 10 years younger than me and her friends to a movie. It's Christmas Eve. Took them to a Christmas movie with Hunter, driving back, speeding. In Tomball, right by the hotel y'all stayed at last night. And they pull me over, and they're like, "Oh, you have a warrant." And I'm like, "For what? Like, why would I have a warrant? I've never done anything."
Right.
73 like, speeding tickets and 45 unpaid parking tickets.
You didn't pay, I don't know, like some court deal I didn't go to or whatever. Yeah. And they freaking handcuffed me in front. Hunter, that was the only time I've ever seen that. And when my little sister was in the hospital, was the only time I ever saw Hunter cry.
That jewelry fits a little different, don't it?
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, watching my dad getting handcuffed and taken off by cops it's just one of the things you never forget.
For a freaking speeding ticket. Like, there should be a different agency that handles that because it's so terrifying. It's not like I robbed a bank or anything.
So one of the things we were talking about before we started the podcast was I wrote a de-escalation course for law enforcement because it was during the whole defund the police was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I talk about is it's like, you know, when you have parking officers that go and just give tickets. They're not armed. They give tickets. They don't argue. They just, here it is, mm-hmm. and they walk away.
Yeah.
So why can't you have levels, like you said, and where it's like, okay, look, you know, here it is. I mean, I understand why they do certain things they do because domestics, and you never know when someone's going to, when they hear those words, you got a warrant for your arrest or whatnot, how they're going to react. But you're right. But it takes money. It takes money. You have to hire these folks. You have to train these folks. There should be, you know, I think that's what the constables are supposed to be for, right? I mean, it's a different level.
The fact that we have human beings and Americans that are willing to step up and do that job.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm very pro-police, but that act is so terrifying to a young lady that has never done anything like criminally.
Yeah, that's the whole point. I wouldn't call you don't do anything criminally.
Well, but speeding is not a criminal.
It is.
No, it's not.
Technically.
Yes, it is.
If you're habitual.
Yes, it is.
If you're a habitual speeder.
You get that, right? You have the sign that says speed limit.
I do not agree with that.
I definitely still remember that.
What are we talking about here?
It was a traumatizing time.
Yeah.
It was so... And And it was Christmas Eve. I had like $1,000 in cash. And I was like, can you just take all my money? Shoot. And they wouldn't.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. They were not having it. That's
what
happens.
It gets so scary, you don't know what to do, so you try and do something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's, like, if from a seasoned police officer, when they roll up a kid like that and that starts happening, there's a little bit of love and kind of messing with you a little bit and some of that just to prove a point.
These guys were jerks. They could care less that it was Christmas Eve. They could care less that I had the pastor's son in my car.
Yeah.
I was literally teaching Sunday school the next day at our church. It was the craziest thing. And it was Christmas the next day.
Yeah. I went back home without a mom.
Yeah.
It was scarred for life.
Wow.
Terrifying.
Wow. No, and they do see a lot of things that we don't have privy to, right? And they do have to put up with. I mean, I remember when I was with the short time I was with the Marshal Service, is one of the unfortunate things we have to do is we have to evict people. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to kick people out on the street, and you know, we're not robots, right? Your heart goes after them. I'm sure, you know, being downrange, being in Afghanistan, being in Iraq, you know, and you're seeing families
jaded.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
That's it. And they you get those that maybe need to pull them off the line now because they are just more of a Judge Dredd instead of mm-hmm. instead of compassionate peace officer.
Yeah. Right?
But again, you're right. It takes my hat goes off to anyone who serves in any kind of capacity. Just understand that we're serving though. We're serving and mm-hmm. we're serving everybody, not yourself.
Some guys the other day about y'all that serve two terms. I think we should have maybe we start in Texas. So a law enforcement agency, because people were like, hey, the cops, and if you had guys that served 10 years military, then 10 years law enforcement, snatch them up, guys and girls, and create a place for them. And if you run into one of them, that's the best we got.
That's right.
They're so highly trained, and we've looked at every inch of them, that this is the best we got. So don't talk back to them. Yeah. If you kill one of them, heaven help you.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. Texas will scorched earth you for doing that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, true. Some of our citizens put in extra work. They do the grind, and we should reward them for that. And I mean, I think especially with our generations, we could develop a program that's so cool to police our own people to where they, here's the deal, you got to know it exists, because people, if they don't know something exists, they'll try and flex it.
Right, right.
But then something that is like they want, something that lets them do their deal.
Yeah.
I mean, humans by design, we like to get wild.
Yeah.
And they like to act up. They just do.
And you're absolutely right. We are so well trained. You know, it I don't want to say overtrained, because I think that is just an oxymoron, right? The argument we always got with our Army brothers, right? You guys train too much. It's like, no.
That's our life.
No, we don't.
That's how you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually got reprimanded when I was with the Marshals because certain people that I was stationed with, they had challenges. I used to be really big into fighting. I got my instructorship from Pat Trey. So Frank Cucci, Pat Trey, mm-hmm. in Thai boxing, Kali. I just love fighting. And weapons instructor, you know, firearms instructor, all this. And I offered to help them get better at shooting and fighting. Well, I get pulled into my supervisor's office. It's like, hey, you know, why are you making people feel bad about their skills? I'm like, well, I'm offering my services. I could get them to another level. And they're like, look, we're not training SEALs. We're training marshals.
Oh, yeah. I've heard guys run into that before, too.
And I'm like, but they suck. And we could get them better. We could get them better. It's like, no. They are fine where the quals that they're at. And I'm like, but they're struggling with the quals. And I'm just trying to help them. It's like, listen, what don't you understand? You know, we are making marshals, not SEALs.
We're
we
don't okay need to SEALs. Suck.
Yeah, so you're right. We bring those skills to the table, and I'm, of course, I'm more diplomatic now when I offer to share any insights or anything I can, so that I don't come across as being a jackass. But you know, we're used to the teams, right? We're used to the teams. It's like, dude, get over here. We're gonna make you better, and mm-hmm. you do, and you don't have. That's how I learn. I learned from other guys that were better than me.
You constantly train. I think that's a big misconception with the SEAL teams. People are like, well, what are they doing when they're not deployed? They're working. They're training. Constantly.
That's the hardest part.
That's it.
We're going to deployment to take a break.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
And every team guy says that.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell the deployment guys. They come back looking like they, I mean, yeah, combat, but they look in shape.
You're right.
We know immediately who they are.
You're right. It's true. That is
for
true.
For sure, man.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, after four, 18 Delta, Damneck, then short stint at SBU 20. That was my shore duty. That was my good deal. I was the SMDR. I worked in the medical department at Special Boat Unit 20.
Cool. Yeah, man.
But they were standing up the MCADs, and they found out I just came from grade team, so they pulled me in. So, the MCADs are the Maritime Air Delivery System, or that they're basically throwing boats out of planes. And so really it's like, hey, let's get these guys confident in the water first. And, you know, the jumping and the driving the boats and de-rigging the boats, that's easy. Let's get them confident in the water. So focused on that. And then, which they hated me at SBU 20. They hated my guts because I was working for a fleet chief. And I just got a bunch of, you know, Eric Adamski, you know, all these guys that straight out of BUDS got sent to 18 Delta and then got sent to SBU 20. And they had a case of the ass because...
Rightfully so. I get it.
They're like, hey, I joined the SEAL teams. They forced them to shore duty. They weren't even on
so
sea duty. They were on shore
or what?
Duty. No. Not no, even they SWIC. Were SEALs. They were BUDS. They were
yeah,
BUDS
they
graduates.
Yeah.
But they were trying to get more SEAL type mentality. It's the Army is really good at this, right? If they want special forces type DNA to get throughout the rest of the forces, they'll send soft guys to other conventional units. So I think that was the same idea. It's like, let's get these DNA, let's get the SEAL DNA into SWIC. This is before SWIC, but into SBU. So they forced these guys, and they were angry, and they're all working in the medical department, and I'm their LPO, and actually I was the SMDR, but the chief was a
fleet guy,
the fleet guy, and I had to pull out the SORM. The SORM is like the Bible; it tells you all the positions at a command, and I pulled out the SORM, and I told him, I said, "Look, I got it. You're the chief. You outrank me, but it says right here in the SORM that the senior medical department representative needs to be." An 18 Delta graduate, an 8491. 8491 is an 18 Delta Special Forces medic, mm-hmm. not what you are. Mm-hmm. So I'm the SMDR.
Oh my gosh.
You're the chief. And he tried to fight. He said, so I'll run these guys. And I it was hard for them. And I told him, I said, listen, guys, I know you got a bad deal, but the best thing I could do is help you guys get promoted and have you guys go to college and get your degrees if you don't have it already. And I'll cover the rest.
That's good stuff, man.
And I'll cover the rest. Yeah.
I got lucky when I was working medical, too.
Yeah?
My fleet chiefs were so much fun.
Oh, yeah?
And our doc was the man. Colin Dirks. God bless you if you can hear me out there. Doc Diggler, we call it. He was so freaking... He's one of them good-looking son of a gun.
Oh,
and
okay.
A doctor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we were in Hawaii because we... When you're out there on the rock, man, all we had was each other. So we worked together and played together.
Yeah.
And then we were always traveling. But our fleet guys, our chiefs in medical, the best.
Nice.
Because they would actually they would pull us in to learn.
Right.
They'd actually make you, we'd have classes, we'd have to go in and learn medical procedures. And he was real adamant about that. And yeah, that I pissed him on a couple of times, but because the boys would be doing something what I thought was cool. Come to find out. It was a lot cooler being in the medical side of it.
Dr. Lipton was at the squadron level or the next group up, and because we all shared a compound, and he was the same way, and he was teaching us how to you know do chiropractics. He was cool. I mean all this stuff,
yeah,
and
man.
it was good stuff, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being 18 Delta, you know, and I was doing it right and writing scripts and you know taking care of people, but. Then it was time to get out, and I decided to go into law enforcement instead.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
So your total service time is what,
35 and a half years. So 9 of those years from 2000 to 2009 was as a reservist. And then so I leave the agency because my average time home was 10 days and then back out the door.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Iraq and Afghanistan.
That's fast.
It was, you know, Venezuela, it was Colombia, it was the Palestinian territories. So Iraq, Afghanistan, yeah, got it. Gaza? Nowhere to run. I'm out there. But I could fit in.
Yeah.
I could fit in. I remember it's during the second intifada. Can I tell this story? Yeah. So it's just about our mindset, right? About our never quit. I know you guys wanted me to talk about never quit stories, and really it's the book. We're still going on, trying to just get the word out to people that they matter. Tip of the spear, it's not what you think. So we're going in, and the Israelis, they have the streets all tore up and whatnot, so it's sand. And we're in a level 4 suburban, and we got a trail, but it's a sedan. And we turn the corner, we take a right, and there's just a mob of people, and there's women. And it's like, oh, shit, something's wrong. Because normally there are people protesting, whatever, but not women. And there's women on the street. And it's like, okay, they're really mad. Well,
yeah, that's we're in a telltale sign. Yeah,
we're in a traffic jam. We're bumper to bumper. Well, they pick out the Suburban because it's American, right? It screams American. And they start surrounding it, and now they're trying to tip it over.
My gosh.
They're shaking it. So we're in the car, and I'm swaying back and forth, and the case officer that we're protecting, he's freaking out, and I'm telling him, I said, listen, you know, shut up, all right, stop making the ultimate plan, right? Don't let him take me alive, all this other stuff. You shoot him, you shoot him. Like, shut up. No one's shooting anybody. Shut up. That's stupid. We're gonna get out of this. Whatever side it starts to tip, we'll just open the doors. It'll act as a kickstand. We'll get out. We'll start running towards the it's my TBI, the border. But before we get there, we need to stop. We need to take all our shit off because we got our armor underneath our shirts. So we look like bombers, right? We look like suicide bombers, and the Israelis will shoot us just as fast as anybody else.
Yeah.
So I'm telling him all this, and the guys behind us are like, what should we do? Should we get out? It's like, no, there's too many of them. You can't start shooting. We got nowhere to go. You can't start shooting anybody, and they're unarmed, and they're just trying to roll us over. Just relax. And so we're, like I said, I'm still doing it, right? The Suburban's just going back and forth, but it's heavy. It's a level 4. It's heavy. So they're having problems flipping it. And just at that moment, you hear the siren go off behind us, and it's an ambulance. And it was like Moses just came out and parted the Red Sea.
My gosh.
And everyone just moves out of the way.
Someone needs help.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that happened, right?
Yeah, yeah. And here comes the ambulance, and I go, I was like, hey, guys, stay on our ass. And I tell the driver, it's like, get right behind that ambulance and follow it. So as soon as it passed us, we get behind it, and it just follow it out. And then, you know, we have to go find somewhere to hide for a while. And the guy's, how are we going to get out? I was like, look, 2-3 in the morning, bless you. 2-3 in the morning, they're all going to be asleep. They got families too. You know, they got families they're raising. They got all this other. It would be a ghost town. It would be a ghost town. And we just have to work with the soldiers and whatnot to get back out. And sure enough, you know, 2-3 in the morning,
bless you.
We drive out and we get back to safety. But yeah, it's
that's crazy.
Just mindset, right? You got someone already given up.
That's the levels right there you're talking about. Oh, yeah. Like the new one, and it's the one we get shot at. You know when that's closed and when it's not.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yes.
For sure.
That's nuts. Pretty funny.
So, oh yes. Gosh. So,
it's amazing, too, how well-trained we are, human beings, by design, all across the earth when an ambulance rolls up. That's a cognitive response.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it also elicits a response. Yeah. How powerful is that?
Yeah.
Like, then in the middle, in the heat of battle, wanting to roll that over, that's like out of being at a football game or something. It feeds itself.
Yeah.
Because once that thing starts moving, you know how you get, man. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I can move you an inch, I can move you a mile.
That's it. That's
and then for something to have the power of noise, or equivocally something that can calm everybody down, part that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something that that exists.
It is. No, it is.
It's, oh, my gosh. It's
I laugh about it. I every time I see a Dove bar, you know, little ice cream bars.
Yeah.
Because every time we'd come out of, and the other territories weren't as bad. It was just Gaza. It was just bad. And there was this gas station that was just outside on the other side of the border. And we'd pull in there, and they'd sell these Dove bars. And
oh my gosh.
We'd get out, and we'd lean on our car, and we're just eating our Dove bar. No one's saying nothing. We're just eating our Dove bar. It's like, all right, yeah, okay.
That's therapy. Yeah. Yeah, therapy. Yeah. That's therapy. When everyone's eating ice, no one says anything, it's just like, huh?
Everyone okay. Good? Yeah, let's continue.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So when you got out of all service, you come home, and that's when you're like, Marcus calls it withdrawals start.
Yeah, so I got forced to go out to San Diego when my son was going into his senior year of high school. The reason I'm in, so when I went back active duty in 09, the Navy started activating me. So they found out I wasn't with the agency anymore, and I was doing civilian and corporate protection. And so they're like, well, okay, time for you to serve your country. Okay. So they mobilized me. And if you want to talk about hard, it's, you know, being your civilian life and all of a sudden, hey, you got 29 days to report and we don't know where you're going, but you're going to be gone for a year. Right? It's like, but no buts, right? It's got time for you to serve your country. So that happened. I come back from that mobilization. I was the task unit commander of the Horn of Africa in 07.
You were in OA?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, fine. 07.
In 07.
I know exactly what that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of people are like, oh, there's nothing going on, right? Nothing going on. It's like,
I trained for that place.
So you know.
I know a lot about it.
You're out there. And mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of support. And yeah. But so came back from that and then talked to my wife about it. And I said, they're not going to stop activating me. So in 09, we went back active duty. Deployed again, this time to the southern Philippines. The autonomous region of Muslim Mindanao. It's called Muslim Mindanao for a reason, right? The Philippines have already given it to them. But for whatever reason, you know, we still have a beef for everyone that's there, which is great, you know. So deployed again. And then came back. But when I went back active duty, I went back as an FTS officer, full-time support. So I'm supposed to manage reserves. But I also knew that I still had to do my SEAL wickets. So did my SEAL wickets, and then I would go and do a big Navy command so I could be more of a dad and a father. And then next command, it'd be more of an NSW command and then a big Navy command. So I was in Austin as the commanding officer for the NOSC, which is big Navy command, shore duty, managing reserves. I told him, I need 3 years here because my son's going to be a rising senior. And then you could send me wherever you want. Well, they forced me out after two and sent me down to San Diego. And this was during COVID.
Okay? Oh, gosh.
So Veronica's like, hey, you stay in the Navy as long as you want, but I'm not leaving Texas. I'm like, so you want me to retire?
She's like, girl.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm not leaving Texas. And so I got it, you know, because my daughter, 11 places before she was 20? 20 years old?
She's a full-on brat.
11 mm-hmm. different places, yeah. And so I went out to San Diego and against my will, working group ops, and I told him, I said, listen, I'm going to come and I'm going to square this away, but don't fight me. I'm retiring. I'm done. My wife's had enough, so we're out. So
how long was that?
That was September of 21 is when I retired.
21, and you went in 1984?
85 is when I signed. 86 is when I went to boot camp.
Gosh, that's so long.
Thank you for your service, and thank you guys for your continued service. Thank you.
San Diego's not a bad place. It's the only other place outside of Texas I'm at home.
It's not. It's not a bad place, but I was mostly an East Coast frog, right? You know, my whole enlisted time.
the whole time. There's a difference between us.
There is.
Absolutely.
There absolutely is. And even when I went back, I stayed on the West Coast when I went back in 09 because
that makes sense.
At that time, I thought that they were going to stay in Washington State. At that time, I thought I only had to do 5 years to retire because I already had 15 active duty years and then 9 in the reserves. And so I'm like, 5 years, we could do that standing on my head and you guys stay here. Well, I didn't read the fine print. Now I'm an officer. I had to do 9 active duty years to retire as an officer. You have to do 10 active duty years to retire as an officer. And I'm like, man, I need to read that fine print.
That can actually be a call sign. Fine print. Never reads it. I know some other guys like that too. Like, hey, man, you know, there's that's something comes with that.
So you, but you did finish it.
I did, yes. Yeah. Well, so when I qualified to retire, I promoted to commander, and my daughter just graduated high school, but my son had 3 more years. So we said, well, let's just, you got to do 3. If I accept the promotion, I have to do at least 3 years by law. And so I did 3 more years. And but that in those 3 years, that's when they moved me down to San Diego.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
So you went E605?
I went E6 and...
04.
05.
05, nice.
Yeah. I would have promoted to 06, but that was going to be another 7-year commitment, and we weren't... Veronica
not
was
not very
done.
Many
that
of y'all.
That is so long.
No. I know. Well, look at Chittick. Sean Chittick.
Yo. Okay. That man right there.
Very special.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Everyone knows that guy. Oh, he has everyone's awesome. Email.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
he's like that. If you need to know anything, he's our operator.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like that should be his handle, operator. If you need to know anything where anybody's at,
that's it.
Get to him.
That's
He'll
it.
Find him.
He's awesome.
Already knows where they're at.
He's awesome.
He is.
I love him. I'll share another story with you. So when I left the agency, I went to Walmart, and I was doing executive protection. I was an executive protection manager for Walmart, and people gave me so much crap. They're like, "How do you go from being SEAL Team 6 to?" U.S. Marshal to CIA to working at Walmart. Like, what the hell? And I'm like, well, my wife didn't want me going to war anymore. And I know they're not opening up any stores in the Middle East that I know of. So I went to Walmart. Well,
like an actual Walmart store?
I'm working at the headquarters.
Okay.
I'm working in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Right?
Yeah. Beautiful place. If you've never been, beautiful place.
I've been several times.
Yeah. There's a difference between working at Walmart and going to Walmart.
Yes. That's,
I've yeah. been to the actual place. It's
yes, it is, and it's shared, and the people are just lovely,
awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They are. They really are.
So is that town?
I love it. It was serendipitous. I mean, Veronica cried the whole way down because we had no idea what to expect. I mean, her family's Texas. I grew up in Washington State. My SEAL family's in on Virginia, right? It was like, what the
Arkansas
hell is in Arkansas?
Is beautiful. It gets a bad rap, but it's. Beautiful. It's one of the prettiest.
Why does it get abandoned? I think that came out from the old days, right?
Well, yeah, because no one.
Yeah,
right?
That
you, know? You got some hillbillies up there.
For sure. But my family's from there, for God's sake.
But it is a beautiful state. Like
is.
The natural beauty. There's like canyons
yeah, we play
and
banjo.
Rivers.
Okay.
Yeah. But so I got so much crap and it was funny because my manager, Pete Gonzalez, great guy, and he was my supervisor, but he loved to brag to brag's the wrong word. It sounds bad. It's not. He liked to tell people the kind of quality that he had on his executive protection team, because you have, I mean, Walmart's Fortune 1. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. They're Fortune 1. So you have all these other big companies, their best practice. Hey, what are you guys doing? Who are you guys doing? So they're talking. Well, every time he would tell people about me, and I'd tell them, it's like, don't tell them. Just don't tell them my background. They're like, ah, bullshit, he's a liar. There's no way that's true. There's no way that one person did that. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. And one day I was having it out with the contractor because he didn't want to hold up his end of the bargain on the house we just bought, and the roof was leaking or something. So I had a case of the ass. And some guy from Starbucks was basically calling me out. So I go, okay, where's he at? I felt so bad after this. The guy was like maybe 5'5". And I'm like, I understand that you have a question about my background. What would you like me to answer for you?
Oh,
and I was
no.
ready to just wring his neck. Oh, no, no. No, I have no problem with that.
So, there's a couple other guys. Nightingale is one like him.
Keith Nightingale has like been a background everywhere, like you.
Was on all the projects, mm-hmm. the ones that get out into the public. You know, yeah. kind of like, man, you were part of that. You were part of that. Matter of fact, when he came on, I called people.
Yeah, just to make sure that he was legit.
Sure he was totally legit. Yeah. You know, guys, we'll call. Like, you hear something, you're like, I got a guy.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly. That's like Chittick.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was going with this story is people, when I was there, they're like, hey, this guy says this. Number one, I wasn't saying anything. It was my boss who was saying it. And they would get on these formats, and Sean Chittick and Paul Perminter, they'd all, yeah, tell Rodney I said hi. How are you? Yeah. you could look it up on the internet now and still find those threads where people were like,
gosh,
this guy's full of shit. And we were, and they're all coming off the top rope with the power rope.
Nope,
this guy's legit.
Yeah, we got him, man. There's some guys, for whatever reason, God probably puts them in all those situations. They get to stick around forever, man. It's just...
I did it to raise my family. If you go back and you look at all the decisions I've made, all but one, and the one was to go to the CIA, that was the only one where it was like, I got to get back to war. My brothers are there, I got to get back. But all the rest of them were, I wanted to provide. I wanted to be a good husband. I want to be a good dad. When I interviewed with Walmart, there's five of them sitting there, and they're asking me questions, right? And they're like, okay, well, what are your goals here at Walmart? And I'm like, well, I want to be a soccer dad. And they started laughing. And I leaned forward. I'm like, what is so funny? And I was mad. And they're like, well, what are your goals here at Walmart? It's like, oh, sorry, misunderstood the question.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lee Scott's going to leave anytime soon. I wouldn't mind doing his job. He was the CEO at that time. But yeah, that was my focus. My focus was to be a family man.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I went there. There was no, I want to rise through the ranks. I want to. You know, be the best merchant or whatnot. I mean, I'm going to do my job to the best. I'm going to try to make things better. That's what we're taught, right?
Yeah.
You leave things better than the way you found them. But my focus was to raise my family and cultivate my wife and mine relationship,
mm-hmm.
in which, you know, still love her dearly. And I think she still loves me. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
So did Walmart treat you well?
You know what? I was gone just about as much with them, but they did. They were fair. If you look at them from a business perspective, they're spot on.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at them from a humanitarian or you know, hey, what you're putting all these businesses out, it's like, okay, yeah, you know, but if you look at them from business, just strictly business, it's hard to argue the way they do things.
Mm-hmm.
I left them because then other people started finding out I wasn't with the agency anymore, and got a phone call from Washington State to come and do security for a family. And it was other team guys that were on the detail. And I'm from Washington State.
I know you're talking about.
My mother was in a wheelchair and she needed help. So I ended up taking the job and we moved my mother in for a while. She didn't last long with us.
For you for taking her in after she treated you like a stepchild.
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe I was a stepchild. Maybe she isn't truly.
Yeah, what are the rest of my brothers turn out to be, man? Not
yeah.
right? You're talking about like, hey, bro.
Excuse me. Yeah. Oh, and you know, talking about that family, Melissa. Ariel, her daughter, is going to be married soon, so I need to say hello to Logan.
Mm.
Hi, Logan. Here's why. The last podcast I was on. Well, it was the only podcast I was on.
and they found out about it. Logan was upset that I didn't mention him.
Oh.
Couldn't find out why.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So, Logan, your name's out there now. You better take damn good care of my niece.
Aw.
Because he has friends.
That's right. Yeah. He has friends.
So, when you get out from all of that, at what point do you start writing your book?
So, it was, I jumped at every chance I could. Staccato was up there in Georgetown. So, I made friends with Tony Pignato, good dude from the unit, Army side. And he go and help him on range, just be a range safety officer, just to go do stuff. People calling, hey, come and help with this fundraiser or whatnot. Got offered to go back and work as an instructor, but Veronica's not leaving Texas. So she's like, no. And those events were just few and far between. And so that's what I looked over at my wife one day and I'm like, sweetie, you know, what is my purpose? And she got a little upset with me because she's like, well, I'm like, it's not that. It's not that at all. Our relationship is great. Our family life is great. What is my purpose? What, you know, men provide and protect. That's what we want to do. We want to provide and protect. And right now I don't feel like I'm doing any of that. So I just started writing. I started writing because I was recounting back all the times I would address the sailors once I became an officer and working my way up through the ranks and talking to the sailors. Every once in a while, some of them would do a sidebar and it's like, look, you need to put that stuff down in a book. I'm like, nah, you guys are just... Yeah, I don't write your paper, all right? I don't write your evals, all right? Stop trying to butter me up. Go talk to someone else. But I did. I just started writing. And what I did when I finished writing, I started sending it to friends of mine from my hometown, Grandview, Scott Parrish and his daughter, Peyton, who are teachers and coaches. Asked them what they thought of it. And they're like, you got something here. You should publish this. So talked to a few people and, a buddy said, hey, I know this person who's a ghostwriter and I don't know what a ghostwriter is supposed to do. So we interview and we talk and she's like, okay, start writing. So, you know, I just start writing more. I just start writing. I'd send her chapters and she'd ask questions and I'd answer the questions and we do it. And before you knew it, we have a manuscript and now it's like, well, should we publish it? So I'll send it to a few more people. Let them see what they thought. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. You need to get this published.
That's awesome.
All this costs money, all right? So it's just free.
People don't realize that. They think you're going to write a book and become a millionaire. That is not how it works.
No, not at all. Not
you
at all.
You have to pay a lot of money to get the book out. It's a lot of your time and like it's exhausting too.
Yeah. And Ballast Books. Really good. So I start researching the public, you know, do your own publishing, self-publishing. And I just sent my manuscript out to a few people and Ballast was the only ones that Andy called me back. He said, hey, give me 2 weeks, let me read it. And I'll get back with you to see if there's something here. So he did. The rest of them were like, yeah, man, we'll take you on. This is what it costs. Yeah, we'll take you on. This is what it costs. I'm like, well, what'd you like about it? Oh, yeah, well, I haven't read it yet. One guy kept changing the title. You know, Rise to the Top. Tip of the spear, you rise to the top. I'm like, yeah, no, that's not the title at all. And Andy, he wrote back. He goes, yeah, this is really good. This is exactly what we look for. And, you know, we have some suggestions, and we'll change some things. But, yeah, if you want, let's get to work.
Yeah, they see through different eyes.
They do. Mm-hmm. They absolutely do.
Yeah, their lenses are different than ours, so it's kind of switch a few words, switch his perspective.
Well, and explaining more of what I'm trying to say. You know, I thought I knew exactly. I thought I was putting it in a way where anyone could understand exactly what I'm saying. It's like, nope, not at all. Let's say it this way.
Yeah.
And let's say that. And they cut a lot out as well because which it flows better. It flows a lot better. But I'm happy with the product. It's you know, you talk about 11 to 18 year olds. One of our neighbors, son, he's a sophomore in high school. maybe junior, sophomore, junior. I thought he was a sophomore. But he read it. He pre-ordered it and he read it and absolutely loved it.
Aww.
Absolutely loved it. And it's great because he's just like, I'm going to do it all because I can. And I'm going to let them say no. Just like Rodney says, I'm going to let them say no. Because if I say no, I definitely won't get it.
Right.
But I'm just going to keep trying and let them say no.
That's so cool.
I think we could start an online SEAL Academy. Like you and I could be professors. So if anybody from 11 to 18 got on their phone, there was an app that said Academy on it, right? And
yeah.
They pulled it up and like, here are your instructors for the day. This is what they're going to teach you. And like they hit the one, I show up. I'm like, here's what you got to know.
Oh my gosh.
And then after lunch, they got you. Because right? Like, each one of the SEALs takes something from us, right? And then yeah. They learn how, like I learn how to speak like you.
Yeah.
Because of how much we hang out. Like I got to learn how to hear you and speak to you.
Right.
And that was my favorite part about being in the platoon. You know, they don't keep us together very long.
Right.
Right. It was the last 3 months probably at the end of that. When we're really dialed in with each other, and yeah. I mean like a freaking rolling.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
No, I tell people about the old, and I get it. We weren't as busy, you know, as your generation got to get, but jungle warfare, I could look at someone's silhouette at night and know exactly who it was. Mm. Didn't have to say, and it was all hand, this was before inner platoon comms or inner squad comms. We didn't have, the radio man had radios to set up to make comms back to base. That was it. There was no
so sign language.
Right. So it was all hand and arm signals and I could see someone's silhouette either standing forward, sideways or whatnot and know exactly who that person was.
Yep. Underwater.
In the platoon. Underwater.
Freaking underwater. Mm-hmm. Pitch black, reach over and touch somebody, like gotcha. I know exactly who that is. Yep.
You could. Awesome. But that's where that training comes in, right? And we train and we get that good. And you see people, matter of fact, I'll go one step further. Another team guy with me and we're with the agency and something happened. We didn't say a word and we just start working.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to say nothing. And we're just going off of each other's cues and we just started working. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that happen awesome. A few times. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes down. It has to be activated.
Yeah.
Like, you got to activate them dudes.
Yeah. Well, you can only get that by as much training as y'all do.
Yeah, I think so. And the kind of training, too. It's got to be it's got to be good quality training. And because you're right. They're shooting live rounds over us all the time. And
so there's no switch for us. No. Like, some guys have to switch into the life. Like, we're always in it.
Yeah.
That's why it's probably more difficult. That's why our withdrawals are harder.
Yeah.
When we get out, it's because... like we were on the drugs, right? Yeah. I mean, like we ate it up. That life was a drug to us.
No, it's a good point. No, and I love the way thought of it as with like withdrawals, like you put it. And you're absolutely right. Yeah. That's exactly it. It's exactly
one of the boys
it.
Said that to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And after having those surgeries, when you say it like that, civilians will understand now.
Yeah.
Like if anybody's ever had to go through that, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
I've had to go through both.
Yeah.
So that's what it feels like, man. If you're wondering what we're going through, it's that.
Surgeries. Oh, man.
Oh, we've been through a lot.
Yeah. No, up there. And you kept going back in.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like you detox, then go back in and get ramped up on it again.
It's like
guys would have multiple surgeries.
I hit it. I've been putting off surgeries for so long.
Yeah, man.
I got diagnosed with asthma in Africa, and I kept it from my record. And just, I know, the VA is going to come after me, right? It's like, hold on a second. Now, all of a sudden, I'm getting ready to get out. I was like, can I get a lung function test? I think there's something wrong with
my gosh.
Yeah. You get that. Oh, you know, I picked this up. Don't worry about it.
Well, because if you got diagnosed in Africa, it probably came from Africa.
Well, the doc that was there was, he was a reservist. And I'm briefing a general, and I start... coming, I was getting ready to pass out, and I'm like, can I have a minute? I went and sat down.
That's the worst.
Couldn't breathe, and just got myself, well, had to get all the way to Djibouti, which is a ways away, to finally see any kind of definitive care. And the guy's like, he goes, I'm not going to write anything down, but, I'm a pediatrician on the outside, and if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, he goes, you have asthma. I'm like, no, I can't have asthma, because you can't dive. It's a disqualifier. Mm-hmm. Right, so then you're out. You can't be a team guy anymore. And I'm like, okay.
There's a couple things to do that to us.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So just kept it out of my record.
That's crazy.
Color blindness, asthma, death perception. There's a couple things, yeah. man. That, oh, and there's a few things you can pick up while you're in. I think the mistake they make is tell us it's a disclaimer.
Exactly.
That's why guys don't say nothing. It's like, hey, man, we won't ever come in then.
Well, again,
and our docs are SEALs too, so they know.
So, Marcus, one of the saddest things that I saw when I was managing reserves is that, because you talk about different kinds of people, right? You have people that are looking for disqualifiers.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to go serve.
Yeah.
Which just drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
There's another reason I wrote this book. Because if you're going to say you're this, then be that. And understand what it takes to be that. Okay? And if you don't want to be that, then go away. We don't care. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a crap. I tell people all the time. It's like, look, you don't have to be like me. You don't have to be a SEAL. You don't have to be this. It's like, just be the best at what you say you are.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as making pies. I don't give a shit. If they're the best pies in the world, you're going to get props from me.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take a space that someone else wants, and then you have no intentions on going and doing what you took the oath to do.
Yeah.
It drove me nuts.
Oh, yeah. That's wanting to carry the reputation without carrying the job.
That's it.
I heard somebody use that analogy the other day, too. They used a street sweeper. Like, hey, man, you boil in there, there's not an ounce of dirt on that street. I mean, that sucker loves that job.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can tell, and he gets accolades for it. That's what you're after. Most guys, man, you know, we just have to find a different way to get that.
Yeah.
And some guys got to get it the easy way. I mean, it's just whatever they just live in, they get it. And some of us have to go out and bleed for it.
Right.
I never thought about it like that, but, you know, there's a lot to that. And it's for each other. Like, why would you even do that? It's like, so he can see it.
Yeah. That's it. He expects me to be the best I can be.
Yeah. 100%.
Just like I expect him to be the best.
And we'll know if you're not, and I'm not talking about dumb stuff. I'm talking about like on point stuff. Like I'll know if you're off like a thing. Just feel that.
Wouldn't it be awesome if college kids did that? Like with each other, like helped pump each other up and.
Yeah. They're still in that phase. Man, it's just, our program's unique because you take it at that age, that college age, and putting us into the hardest military installations with discipline and death. And it's all in that one little.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on and tell us one more time where they can get the book and when it comes out in print and all of that.
Sure, absolutely. So, Tip of the Spear, It's Not What You Think by Rodney Magellan, all A's. And you can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Barnes & Noble. It's out. It's been out for a week.
Okay.
And you could get signed copies at ballastbooks.com while supplies last. And it's in hard copy. It's in paperback. I narrated it. If you want to listen to audiobooks, I did.
Oh, nice.
And you talk about sweating.
That's
you can
a good
get
one,
the ebook as well. You get the ebook as well.
Very cool. Well, absolutely. We're so happy
bless
that you,
man.
Came
Thanks
here.
For
and
thank you.
Great
Thanks
to meet
for
you
me.
And your wife.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story. Are you on social media at all?
I'm not, and that's one of the things that I need to. I've been a ghost. I've been a ghost for so long, and
not anymore.
Not anymore. I know.
Let your daughter handle it. That's what daughters are for.
I know, my daughter and my son.
Well, it's the radar. That's the radar system, man. So you want to throw stuff on that.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
Thank you.
This will help.
Thank you guys.
The mess out of it too.
Thank you so much.
You bet, brother. God bless you.
Central Ohio has the best football team. Did you know we have the best credit union too? It's easy to fall for CME, Ohio's number one credit union, recognized nationally and statewide by Forbes and rooted right here in Central Ohio. CME Federal Credit Union, bank with the best. Membership subject to eligibility, federally insured by NCUA, equal housing lender. Visit cmefcu.org for additional details.